Today we want to talk about honor. And I just want to honor Pastor Steve this morning, who is truly getting a blessing this morning. He is up in Anchorage, Alaska, enjoying time with their daughter who serves as a flight attendant based out of Anchorage. And what a blessing. I just imagine the day, what that will be like when my kids are all like that. I know that's so far away, but the time, I know it just goes so fast. I'm looking at one sitting in the way back right now, and he's just growing way too quick, and I know that time just keeps continuing. So he is out enjoying that blessing today, and we love that he gets to do that. But we want to talk today about honor. And when Jesus talked about honor, he talked about two kinds of people. He talked about those who honor themselves, and he talked about those who waited to be honored. Well, right now, the election season is in full swing, right? Anyone getting really excited for it? Anybody? Anybody, you're done with it already? That's probably okay. Well, we get to experience many people in the election season who honor themselves, right? Candidates are constantly trying to tell us why we should get their vote. Now, some speak with pride, maybe many, and a few tend to speak with more humility. But many, as Jesus would say, seem to be taking the best seat for themselves and lauding their own accolades. And this doesn't really surprise us, and it doesn't typically bother us in our culture because this is what we're used to. The default that we grow up with is, I want to talk about how great I am, right? That's just our default. That's our culture. But we're also a culture that gives honor to all sorts of people. We show honor to important people. We show honor to rich people, to those who seem to have accomplished much and those who have great skill. We show honor to smart people, strong people, and beautiful people, and those, especially here in Portland, those who stand out, right? Keep Portland weird. We show honor in a lot of different ways. We show honor by giving with money, right? Sometimes that's a salary. Sometimes that's an award. We show honor with our words. We show honor with trophies and accolades, with clapping and with cheering. Sometimes it's with a street name. Or maybe if we really want to honor you, we give you a day of the year that is yours. The rest of us just get a birthday and we call it that. Sometimes we honor people with a place to sit or a ribbon to cut and a place at the front of the line. Now, these aren't all bad things to be honored for. And these aren't all inappropriate ways to honor honorable people. But at the heart of today, we want to talk about the respect that we give people in general and those in the church, the body of Christ, and what that says about our love for them. So I got the chance this last week to spend some time with Spencer Ribley, and I don't think he's here this morning, is he? Spencer, you're not here. No, he wasn't here first service either. Now I'm going to honor him, and maybe he doesn't need it, but just kidding, just kidding. Spencer, a fantastic guy. He interned with me in youth ministry for a good year and a half, did a fantastic job. Now he's down at Corbin University. He's going to graduate this next year, and he's just applying for his first part-time youth pastor's job. It's just exciting to see what God is doing with his life. But I got to spend time with him and his parents at family camp this last week. And they're just a family who they value other people, they respect people, they serve people. And I found out that when Spencer grew up, he said their whole family, all the kids would be voluntold quite often. Their parents would voluntell them into different services, and they would do this everywhere. And it didn't matter what task it was, but they were voluntold into many things. My wife can agree that they were voluntold into lots of things as a family too. But this produced great fruit in Spencer and the other kids' lives, right? Where their kids have grown up, and now they're young adults who value people. They value people. So today we're going to take a look at another one of these strands that connect us together, that we are supposed to be connected together in the body of Christ, and that is honoring one another and valuing people like Jesus. So we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12 and begin there. And that's going to be on page 790 if you're using the Bible in the chair. Page 790. If you brought your own Bible or if you brought an app, you'll have to find it on your own. I can't help you there. Except for that Romans starts with an R. So let's read together Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Pastor Steve actually preached on the first half of this verse earlier this summer, which says, be devoted to one another in love. The end of the verse says this, honor one another above yourselves. It's a really short verse, so it's going to be a really short sermon. All right? Sound good? Honor one another above yourselves. And this is written in the section where Paul is teaching the community on how to worship God by giving themselves as a spiritual, as a sacrifice, as a living sacrifice. And it's in a section where he's teaching them what it looks like to be the community of Christ, the body of Christ. I like the ESV translation of this that says, outdo one another in showing honor. It has the idea of we as the church are to lead the way in showing honor toward one another. We are to be the example of what it means to be a community that honors one another. You got to stop and just and look at the church, not just our church, but the church today, and ask, how are we doing? Are we being a good example to the world and leading the way in what it means to honor one another? We'll get into the concept of honoring one another above yourself a little later. But we're going to look at what does it mean to honor somebody? What does it mean to honor someone? And sometimes I find it's helpful to understand that in the context of what it does not mean. So here are a few things. Honoring one another doesn't mean withholding the truth from someone out of fear of hurting them or that what they might think of you. Because as believers, we are called to speak the truth in love. We are counseled that wounds from a friend can be trusted. Honoring one another doesn't mean that we are to puff each other up and give each other a reason to have self-focused pride, but we are called instead to build each other up in love. Honor doesn't mean that we flatter each other, which is really done for our own benefit and not the other person. Honoring doesn't mean that we're supposed to like everyone, so you can have a big sigh of relief there. Nor does honoring mean that we have to bow to every whim of the other person and only go along with their preference. I just came across a couple this morning who enjoys their sarcastic relationship together. And it made me think, you know what? Honoring doesn't necessarily mean that sarcasm is out with the person you're in relation to like that. But it might mean that. It might mean the sarcasm is out for you. And when we honor our enemies, it is not as a pacifist. Just read through the Psalms and you're going to find out that we have the example of both praying for the destruction and the salvation of our enemies. Honoring doesn't mean turning a blind obeying without any regard to higher authority. Children can hardly consider honoring their parents if their parents are advising them to steal. And honoring doesn't mean that we agree on everything. How many this week have had a disagreement with somebody outside of the church? Anybody? Okay, yeah, absolutely, me too. And we are going to disagree with people within the church from other traditions. And yes, we are going to even disagree with each other here at Grace Point, right? And I saw a wonderful example of this, how you can disagree while still honoring the other people, this very week in leadership. We were having a discussion about a different method of something, and one of the leaders ended by saying this, you are still my brothers, and I am proud to lead with you. We just see this piece differently. I love that because so many times divisions happen because people can't seem to honor each other and respect each other when there is disagreement. And so disunity comes. We've got to find a way to disagree and still be unified, and that comes by honoring each other. So what is at the heart of honor? At the heart of honor, it means to value people the way Jesus does. The word here in Romans 12, to honor, means to value. It means to respect. And it connotates worth. There is someone has something that's worthwhile. We're commanded to honor people in a lot of different ways in Scripture. We're told to honor the Lord with the first fruits, basically the best of all we have. We are told to honor our parents. We're told to honor widows that are truly widows, to honor our leaders, and many, many other categories of people. And these are all about deference and respect and how you consider who has great worth. Honoring others is the antidote to the sin of pride. One commentator wrote this. He said, "A spirit of pride in human relations indicates a lack of humility before God." So posturing your heart toward honoring one another really is the opposite of looking out for number one. And this is what I hope we'll see today, that I believe that the way we honor one another not only reflects the love that we have for others, but ultimately it reflects the understanding of God's love for you and the worth you have. So why should we honor people? And I want to ask this first. What is your value? Have you ever thought about that when you sit and you turn the music off and you turn the TV off and you put the book down and you stop working for a little bit, and those quiet thoughts that just kind of sit in the back of your head all day long and you kind of wrestle with them? What is your value? How do you evaluate yourself and your own worth? Sometimes we do that by what we accomplish or the other things that we honor people with, how much skill we have or the beauty we possess or our ability to get things done. But what happens when the bottom of that identity gets stripped away? When we see ourselves as a worker and someone smart and beautiful or strong and that goes away for some reason, what is our value? And what is the value of other people? But to understand this, we have to go back to the beginning. And so literally, we're going to go to page one. So turn in your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1, which happens to be on page 1. We'll move around just a couple more times today. I'm going to read verse 27 and 28. This is in the creation narrative right here. It says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground.'" You were created in the image of God. That means in his likeness. And this is true of those who, not just those who know Jesus and have a relationship with him, but every human being. In fact, that was reaffirmed in Genesis chapter 9 when God spoke these words again to a sinful but faithful Noah and his family, saying, "Don't shed another human's blood because they are made in my image." Being made in his image means that you've been given a spirit. You're not just material flesh. And our culture over centuries has kind of gone back and forth on whether what's more important, the flesh or the immaterial things. You've been given thought, but on top of that, you have been given a will, a volition, a power to make choice. You were created in community, for community. You possess feeling, though I would say about half of us in this room probably don't want to talk about that too much. You were made with a desire to create, to build, to enjoy beauty. I think that's half the fun of why we go to camp out. Yeah, we love the relationships, but we love the beauty that we get to go see too. And we've been given the task to bring order to God's creation, just like God began and is still doing. You see, we have been given a significance that the rest of creation does not have. You are valued, and believe it or not, others have that same value as you. King David wrote this in Psalm 8. He just marveled at this, that God would make people and value them such. He said, "When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, when I look at the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you would care for them? You made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor." He's basically saying, what are we? We are so insignificant, right? So insignificant, and yet at the same time, so valued by God. And this leads David to close in praise, saying, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Our understanding of the value that God has in us should cause us and lead us to praise and to worship. There was a fascinating article in the Oregonian this week. A professor from Lewis and Clark wrote, speaking of Oregon and really the whole Northwest, on how we're known for being a place of the nuns, people who don't identify with any religion whatsoever. And they postulated that the Northwest, our religion up here in the Northwest, is nature religion. People having spiritual experiences in nature, on hikes, up in the mountains, out on the rivers, while they're camping, right? Up in the gorge. One reader responded by saying, "I think that those who seek spirituality in nature and see beauty and truth as connected, and for them, experiencing the sublime and acknowledging how insignificant we are in the grand scheme of things can be liberating." You know, people love to go out in nature and recognize how small they are and insignificant they are. And yet, in our culture, that often turns people towards enjoying the creation and yet rejecting the Creator. In spite of that beauty of nature in general, people tend to recognize that there is something different about humanity. You know, even when society seems to be losing its way, there are still many secular arguments for valuing life across all ages. And my neighbors who don't know Jesus, they value us as neighbors. They honor us. They bring us apples every year. We just got this huge old bag of Gravenstein apples this week, and he just does this year after year after year. He honors us as people. What about honoring our enemies? One author wrote this, speaking of the culture wars where people label each other the enemy. He said, "Both sides forget that when we label another person or group as the enemy because they oppose our vision of the future, we reduce their value. We diminish, at least in our eyes, some of their God-given worth by viewing them as objects to be removed rather than people to be loved. Whenever we diminish the value of people created in God's image, we cannot be moving closer to shalom." So that makes me ask, who are the people I encounter in my life? And who are the people you encounter? Are they objects to be removed, obstacles to overcome, or are they people to be loved? The world goes over the top to honor people who are important and skilled, but we as believers are to recognize and have a basic level of respect and value for all people because they are made in the image of God. I listened to this podcast from the United Kingdom called Unbelievable. It's a Christian podcast where they bring in a believer and an atheist, or a believer and a Muslim, or a believer and a Mormon, and talk about things and debate some issue. And sometimes they bring in two Christians to talk about some point of theology. But it's very, very clear. You can tell the weeks where there's a believer on there that just wants to get their point across. And you can tell the weeks when the believer there truly does have a love for the other person in the middle of their argument. Right, 1 Corinthians 13 makes it clear that we can say and do great things on behalf of God, and yet done without love, really, we've missed the point. Before we can honor others, we have to understand how dearly valued and loved we are. Have you sat in that before? Have you understood that? Have you sat there and just recognized how dearly beloved you are by God? How He made you in His image, and you have great worth. We have to understand that. And if you start there and you still don't feel valued, know that even if you don't know Jesus, He came to give His life for you. That's how much He values you, that He would give up His life for you. So we're to honor everybody, and that includes the church. But in the church, we already heard this, we are supposed to be this incredible example to the world of mutual honor in our relationships. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, which is on page 851. And we want to understand a little bit about our value in the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Peter writes this. He says, "Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor." So Peter starts out basically saying what we've already heard. He reiterates the call to honor all people. But then he calls us to be a people who love the family of believers. Our honor of each other should have a strength in it and behind it because we are family. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, John says, "Dearly beloved," and he calls us children of God. That's what we really are, he says. We're supposed to understand each other as brothers and sisters, as God's children, as the local church. And this is a good thing. I see this at Grace Point in a very good way. As family, it's not hard to see that there is a great deal of respect and honor toward one another here. You see that in all sorts of ways. When someone's ill, or when someone's having a baby, and people offer to bring meals, and they offer to come and spend the night and watch a kid overnight. You see that when people are having a baby and they're sick at the same time because they're having a baby, and people come and take care of them. You get to see that behind the scenes often when someone just calls in and says, hey, I saw this need, here's a way to meet it, and I'd like to help out with that, without ever being asked. We experienced that getting ready to go to family camp. We had a mission ice cream a meeting with Brad Butcher out at Cook Park, and somebody, I don't know who, but somebody saw that our 5-gallon water pitcher was cracked on top, and I made a Milton note, okay, we need to buy a new one. 2 days later, there's this big box from Amazon shows up in the mail, and someone's like, hey, did you guys order a new 5-gallon jug? I said, no. I said, Brian, did you order one? No. We asked around. Nobody ordered one. But somebody at that meeting saw a need and said, here's a way we can meet that need. Just really simple. And they were showing honor. You see that all the time. I experienced this when I was sick a while back, and he's out of the room right now, but our bass player, Sam, he brought his bag of tricks one Sunday morning for me without being asked and gave me the right oils to gargle with so that I could sing that day. I appreciate that so much. There's great honor there. But showing honor to each other goes beyond the local church, which I feel like we do well, and it goes to the global church as well. Now, siblings can spur each other on in helpful ways, but they can also have the tendency to push one another's buttons. Right? It's not uncommon at my house to hear one of my sons say, it's mine, to only hear the other son say, it's mine. And really, inside, I'm feeling like, hey, that's mine, right? And then I realize they probably get that from me. I have a tendency to think of myself first, too. Rick Warren, he spoke to a gathering of pastors from many denominations, and he asked why we give Why do we give qualifying statements when we speak of other believers? You know, when you want to reference something that someone said, but you want to make sure that the other person knows that you don't agree 100% with everything that person represents and says. Yeah, Rick said, I don't even agree 100% with everything I say and do. He said, when you qualify someone, you give in to the fear of men. And he asked, can we be a people who honor our brothers and sisters in the Lord? It's hard to say, I don't care about you, and God loves you at the same time. You know, honoring one another is so important, and yet sometimes we have a hard time doing that, even in close community. Years ago, there was a wonderful couple that worked on our youth ministry team, probably about 10 years ago now, and they were getting ready to move to Central Oregon. And so before they did, we said, hey, we want to have a celebration with you guys at youth group before you go. And so we had cake and ice cream. And then we had a time at the end where we let students and leaders share just different memories about that couple. Maybe say thank you for what they had meant in their life, how they had served them well, all sorts of things. And it was a special time. We've done that often with youth leaders as they, you know, move on into different phases of life. But this was a special time. And afterward, they came up to the youth pastor at the time and myself, and they said, we have to do this more often. Like, we didn't know some of these things. We didn't know some of the ways we'd impacted people. And so much of the honor that we could show people really gets left unsaid before someone decides to move or before death. You know, who are the people even in this room that, you know what, you could show them some honor with your words or actions and be able to appreciate them for what they've been in your life? When I first began in vocational ministry, a pastor friend of mine was showing me some of the practical sides of things, things they never show you in school. So he was showing me his filing system. And he had an odd folder in there called Before I Resign. I said, that's an odd one. What's in that? Is that like a list of things to do before you resign? He said, oh, no. He showed me. And it's a note file kept of thank you cards and note cards of appreciation. He kept them in the file because he knew sometimes the days would be difficult or the fruit would be little or criticism could be growing. And those cards of appreciation would remind what is true in 1 Corinthians, that we can be confident the work we do in the Lord is growing fruit. But it was a good reminder for him that he could look back and see how God had used him and say, okay, God, I know you're not done with me yet. And how true is that? Who are those people that we can be showing honor to in this room, in the other service, and say, you know what, that meant a great deal to me. We can look back on those things and understand how God is using us, and those are fantastic. Unfortunately, in popular Christian culture, we tend to honor people the same way that the world does. We value those in the church with great skill or successes that we see, and people that we view as more important. But at the cross, and I love that we started there this morning, at the cross, you beckon me. At the cross, we stand equal. We stand equal in need. We stand equal in value, and we stand equal together in worth. So what if you don't feel honored as a follower of Jesus? Well, there's a number of things. But if you don't feel honored, you have to begin by finding your ground in who God is. A devotional writer wrote this about Moses' encounter with God. He said, like Moses, many of us sense our own insignificance. Moses' question, who am I, implies an answer, I am nobody. Burdened with this stigma, we can chase after acclaim, accomplishments, relationships, or status to prove to the world and ourselves that we really are somebody. It is important to recognize that God did not answer Moses' question, who am I? His silence on the matter of Moses' identity is a passive agreement with Moses' assumption. Yes, Moses, you are inadequate to confront Pharaoh. Instead, the Lord says, I will be with you. God's answer reveals that Moses was asking the wrong question. Rather than focusing on his identity, Moses should have been focusing on God's. The most important question of life is not who am I, but whose am I? If you don't feel honored as a follower of Jesus, you have to begin by finding your grounding and your identity in who Jesus is, the relationship that you have with him. Secondly, if you don't feel honored by others, know that honor begets honor. You can only give honor to other believers. You cannot demand it. And the solution is not to return dishonor for dishonor. Jesus' counsel to people was to take the insignificant chair, to let your master bring you into a place of honor. So we know that we are supposed to honor others and to value them as humans and to love our brothers and sisters as family. But how do we practice that? And what is the result of that? So for the last place we're going to turn this morning, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, which is page 819. How do we practically show honor toward others? And what is the result? Let's read together. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3 and then 4. Paul writes, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So much of this is expanding on what we've already seen today. But he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. That's a word that carries the meaning of strife. Don't do anything out of strife. Do nothing out of rivalry. Do nothing according to faction. You know, how many times I have to ask, am I guilty of picking fights? Not physical ones, but picking fights for my own sake. To look good, to claim a spot in someone's mind. To get that spot in the grocery line before they do. He says, do nothing out of vain conceit. Do nothing out of vanity. Do nothing with pride in oneself. How many times are we guilty of being motivated by what others will think of me? And if you're a people pleaser like me, that's your default nature, this is the one for you, right? Do nothing based on what others are going to think of you. Then he says this, here's the antidote. Consider others more significant. And that word really means superior. Consider others superior to yourself. How many times do we look our nose down at others? You know, we would never say, I'm better than you, but we act like it, or we at least think it. You know, considering others more significant than yourself works really beautifully in community when it happens mutually, right? It's really difficult when somebody is always the one becoming more insignificant, considering the other person significant, and just saying, yeah, that's good enough for me. And then letting the other person kind of walk all over that. That doesn't work out so well. This works well in community when we mutually put this in practice together, mutually putting one another first. Looking out for each other's interests glues a community together. I really like the ESV translation that seems to capture the nuance of this to say, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Just like we learned last week, whether you are at camp out or back here, that we are to carry our own load and to bear one another's burdens. The same is true with this. We are to take care of our own interests as well as look after the interests of one another. And this is a hard thing, right? My default is I'm looking after my interests. And then when there's room, I'll take care of my family's interests. And then when there's room, what needs to happen with work and what needs to happen in life. And then, okay, if I have some margin of space, what other people on my street need? What other people in my community need? And that's our default. And I'm guessing that's not just my default. So how do we grow in this? We grow in this by we have to look to Jesus. Let's keep on reading in Philippians, starting at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Growing to be people that truly honor one another takes a great deal of humility. We look to Jesus and we model our attitude after him. He was something, he became nothing. He obeyed, and then God exalted, God honored him. It takes a great deal of humility. You know, I'm blessed to serve week after week with a talented group of musicians, week in, week out. I was counting up this week and I think I got up to six. Six of the team that you see from today to week after week have served either as worship leaders or worship pastors at other churches. And I'm just hugely blessed by that. And they could step in and lead in a heartbeat. If I decided, you know, when Steve goes and drives his bus someday, I'm going to go drive one too. They could all ably lead. And yet they come in humility, truly desiring to be part of the team and contributing how God has gifted them. It's a beautiful picture of what it means to be part of a team and show honor to one another in humility. You know, I've heard humility defined this way. It is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And this way, humility is not denying your strength, but being honest about your weakness. I had someone approach me after the service and told me the prayer of their grandson who was going out for the summer in missions. Not Mitch. By the way, welcome back, Mitch. Love seeing you back here. But another gentleman who is serving in a mission type of field this summer, one of his prayers was for God to make him humble, but confident in who God is making him to be and how God was using him. And I love that. That really fits with humility, because sometimes we just think humility is, oh, I'm just nothing. Right? But no, it's not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And one commentator wrote that Christ's humility is the standard for evaluating the worth of others and actions toward them. So when we practice honoring each other and we practice humility, what happens? The result of all this is ultimately that we honor Jesus, and the result is that we make his name known. I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter 2:12, which says, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Be people of honor, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of your visitation." The way that we honor each other becomes a part of our witness to who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives. And the very fact that we are honoring each other honors him. So practically speaking, I know I'm supposed to honor people, and we together are supposed to be this example to the world in valuing one another. So let's consider different relationships and how we can grow in putting each other's interests first. Maybe it's in marriage. Do you take the time to think about or ask your spouse what needs they have and then go and meet them, mutually honoring each other's needs? Now, Allison and I do not always do this perfectly, right? She's in the back and she's probably saying, yeah, we don't do this all the time. But we actually had a great example of this a few weeks back. She has these college roommates from across the world. One's in San Jose, one's in Seattle. She's here, and then there's one in New Zealand right now. And so, as you can imagine, they rarely get to see each other. Well, the one from New Zealand was flying back to America, and they all wanted to get together. And I was able to honor her and put her interest first and say, please do that. Go and enjoy. And they were able to spend the night out together. And it was me and the boys, and the first time was just me and the two boys. I was able to honor her in doing that. And it worked just fine. It was great. They didn't throw too many fits. they didn't wake up at 4 in the morning or anything at all. Yeah. But I was able to honor her that way. And then when her friends decided that Friday night would not work, but Saturday night would work, she was able to honor me and say, oh boy, that means I'm going to be out all night away from the house, and you're going to have to take care of the boys and then wake up at 6:30 and somehow take care of them and get to a gathering like this. And she honored me by calling her mom saying, Mom, can you come over early in the morning and taking care of the kids so Aaron can go on to church? And she was able to honor me. It works beautiful when people are mutually honoring each other and putting each other's interests first. What about in the workplace? Do you follow through on your commitments and conduct business in a way that is fair and honorable, considering the impact to others and even bringing benefit to others? With your parents, children, do you listen to them? Do you desire to hear their wisdom? Do you have regard for them? Do you seek to spend time with them? From our government leaders, from the top down to cops and everyone in between, do we speak, do we agree, do we disagree with the kind of respect that we've just read about in 1 Peter? The world is watching us. They care greatly about we as the church and how we treat our authorities. We must gain the ability to passionately discuss and disagree without hating. We must gain the ability to argue with respect. In the church, do we approach tough conversations with humility? Do we truly consider others better than ourselves? You know, it's hard to stand back and be a critic only when you honor others. What about in our relationships? Do we leave a place better than we found it? As Pastor Brian says, do we take care of the details? Now, we got to experience this recently. We came up with this idea to rearrange the back offices here. For years, we've had just one chair up here, and we thought, hey, what if we could have two chairs here, and a couple could come and sit together? And it's a wonderful thing. And we rearranged some things, and we rearranged it, and we were able to walk through beautifully. And we didn't consider how it might affect other people who stored things in certain places back there. And so I had to apologize. I said, you know what? I didn't put you first. I didn't think about you and how that would affect you. We in the church have to grow in this too, in honoring one another and thinking of how our actions affect one another. Taking care of the details. I love that line. Thanks, Brian. Honoring one another is about the manner in which you talk about someone when they're not in the room. It's about controlling your own volume level. This is one of my favorite Proverbs, 27:14. Says, if anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. I need to teach my sons that one. We honor each other by giving space, by giving our time, by being on time, and by making the most of our time. We've got to learn to honor each other first in thought, and then in word, and then in action. Because if we do not begin with honoring people in our hearts, we will never honor them truly with our words or indeed. In 2013, former porn star Brittany Ruiz joined Pastor Craig Gross on the TV show The View, and they wanted to talk about the impact that believers had in her life. Believers who had valued her, though she lived a lifestyle in rebellion to God. She left an industry where she made up to $13,000 a day. The host asked her if she felt empowered by the career, because oftentimes many proponents for pornography argue that it empowers women. She said, in the beginning, I felt beautiful and I found like I felt like I found my self-worth. After a while, I began feeling destroyed and hopeless. I felt helpless. I tried to commit suicide several times. I was miserable. Pastor Gross's ministry specifically reaches out to people who want to overcome an addiction to pornography. And their ministry teams travel nationally and even worldwide to adult industry events, specifically to evangelize and share the message that Jesus loves porn stars. He and his team had seen Brittany for 7 years, and it just said it was a matter of time that they would send people up to her, and it would brighten her day at the show, and that they would talk to her, give her a t-shirt that said, Jesus loves porn stars, and he handed her a Bible. He added that although he takes some credit, it was really a team of women from their ministry that just cared and loved her and told her that she was loved and valued. Asked if she would ever go back into making those films, Brittany says, no, absolutely not. I've encountered the love of God, and through encountering his love, I know my self-worth. I love myself, I respect myself, and I have found that void, the void I was looking for. I found that in Jesus, and I could never go back. Now, who are the people that we come across in our world that we need to show the kind of value that they really have? Recognizing that they've been made in the image of God. Recognizing that whether or not they know him, Jesus died on a cross for them. Who are the people that we need to honor and have a basic level of respect for? Who are the people that we see in the grocery store, but or maybe on the side of the street, and we're just going to keep our eyes focused and not acknowledge him? And who are the people in this room that we've never spoken those words of honor and value and recognized how much they've meant to us, and we need to just say those words before someone moves? Who are the people that are going to grow in this community because you've been obedient and been an example to the world in what it looks like to value others the way that Jesus does? And what stories are we going to see as we begin to honor people this way? Would you pray with me? Father, I have to start by confessing and asking forgiveness because I am concerned primarily with myself. I put my own details first. And when things feel comfortable and good, that's when I'll take the time to reach out beyond me. Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive us as your people for that. Help us become the people you've called us to be. A people and a community who truly value each and every one. People who see that you have made each other in the image of God, that you went to the cross on their behalf. God, help us to be people who don't just see stories like we've seen with Brittany and Craig, but Lord, we experience them because we have shown the people we come across value, the same value that you show them, the same value that you have in them. Lord, we love you. We thank you for how great you are, for how you have valued us, and yet we are so insignificant. God, may that lead us to worship you right now. We love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.